The views of this program are not necessarily the views of KJLL Radio, its management, or its sponsors. The host is solely responsible for its content. Enjoy.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure...
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good afternoon, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. Maybe turn me down a little bit. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my texting brother, Jeff.
Can't hear. Can't hear. Ears blown out. Can't hear.
Yeah, that's a little sharp.
Hello, Fred. How are you doing today, buddy?
Ooh,
yikes.
A little sharp on the ears.
Yeah. Okay, now we're a little low. How about this? How we do? Check. Chest. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's kind of like being in the old band again, isn't it?
That is.
Yeah.
We're the blockheads.
So
we are the blockheads.
You are a blockhead.
That's right.
So welcome to the Fred and Jeff Show. And we got a lot of good things for you today. Today's going to be a great show.
It is going to be a fun show.
We have
show.
Another one of the Tucson icons here in the studio.
Yeah, we should do like a monthly icon show.
Well, we kind of are, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
This is a guy that we've revered for, gosh, I don't know.
Feared.
40 years, maybe?
Pretty much.
Maybe longer?
Maybe.
Yikes.
I think it's actually about 36, actually.
Whew. That's a long time.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So I'm looking forward to talking to Jim Refkin.
I think that's older than some of the guests in the room here today. Some of the other guests.
Potentially. So thanks for tuning in to the Fred and Jeff Show. We want to say thanks to all of our sponsors, because without them, there would be no Fred and Jeff Show. And they start with Ackerley Advertising, our friends at Anthony's Cigar Emporium, Barker Morrissey Contracting, Casa de la Luz Hospice, Charlie's Comics, H&S Estate Garden, Monkey Burger, Power Women Investing, the Tucson Roller Derby lovely ladies, and your friends at Ronstadt Insurance.
And I was at Monkey Burger today, and those are just so tasty.
They're good. It's good time.
You know, Roy is not there often enough.
He's not keeping an eye on the register?
No, he's over downtown, because we always go to the Broadway one.
That's right. That's closer to my office.
That is correct. It's also closer to Anthony's. It's right next door.
So have a cigar, have a burger. It's all good.
It is all good.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have our house cleaning. This weekend is Tucson Eat Yourself.
Tucson Meet Yourself, right?
Oh, is that what it's called?
Yes.
Okay, Tucson Meet Yourself.
Right. And for those of you out there that don't know what Tucson Meet Yourself is, it is absolutely one of the finest conglomerations of all the people who live and breathe in Tucson, Arizona, regardless of race, creed, color, you name it, they're there. And
well,
they're having a ball.
And they're celebrating all the diverse cultures that reside in Tucson.
That's right.
I mean, there's like, you know, the Polish group, the Irish group, the a lot of Hispanic.
Everyone German. From the Asians to the Zimbabweans. And
yeah, they have entertainment.
They're here in Tucson. They're there having a good time.
They're a lot of entertainment and heavy on the food items.
Yeah, heavy on the food and heavy on the music, heavy on the readings. It's a great time, folks. So head downtown this weekend to check that out.
Yeah, it starts on Friday. You can starts at 11 a.m. and goes till 10 p.m. And that's downtown near City Hall. And actually, it's all over the place downtown.
Right. And if you're in the mood for some carnival rides, you know, if you want to get on a Ferris wheel or the Twister or something like that, head over to the Tucson Fall Fair at St. Cyril School at Pima and Swan. That starts Thursday and goes all the way till Sunday. Pima and Swan, the Tucson Fall Fair, check that out. There's going to be live entertainment. Same thing, kind of lots of food. But the Midway and all of the rides are just a lot of fun.
And, you know, the biggest entertainment this weekend is happening Saturday at Bookman's Event Center.
And that would be?
That would be the big Tucson Roller Derby bout. And we have Jill Manjaro here.
Hello.
You have to speak into the mic.
Hello.
Very nice.
And Scarlett O'Hitter.
Hello.
And they're representing the Copper Queens and the Vice Squad.
Vice?
Just saying.
Vice Squad.
Vice Squad.
All the way.
And this weekend is the big Monster Smash doubleheader.
It is. Vice Squad will be playing at 6. Doors open at 5. We'll be playing the Prescott Whiskey Rollers. We will be beating the Prescott Whiskey Rollers, rather.
Definitely.
And then Copper Queens play Surly Girlies.
Yep.
At 7, I believe it starts. It's going to be a raucous good time.
All right. Is there any connection between the Surly Girlies and the Surly Wench?
There is not. There is not. Surly Girlies are actually a Phoenix team, so that would be some seriously bad mixed blood there. But especially because we take our Surly Wench very seriously.
Yeah, you should. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right.
And so the big every time you guys do one of these big bouts, mm-hmm. there's a fundraiser involved.
There is a fundraiser involved. This month, our charity is the Tucson Screamer Slaughterhouse, and we will actually be at the slaughterhouse on October 21st, and you can buy coupons off tickets at the bout this Saturday.
Awesome.
Nice.
And you guys, now this is the continuation of the intrastate
conference. Yes. Yes. This will be our second conference. Last year, the Bad News Beaters of Phoenix won, and we are not going to let that happen this year. So Tucson all the way.
Mm-hmm. All right, ladies. How long have you guys been roller derbying?
I started in March of 2010, and so
In August last year.
All right. Mm-hmm. So you guys aren't grizzled veterans.
You might be. I think after about a year,
you have enough bruises and
contusions and broken bones and things like that. I actually have a torn PCL ligament right now. So,
Are you benched for the bout?
I am. I'm going to be bench coaching the Vice Squad, not playing. I know.
So what's the scouting report on the Vice Squad?
The Vice Squad. We're going to win. It's going to be. It's going to be a big spread, I think. I'm pretty excited. But I love Prescott. They're a fun team. They're a newer team. They're just getting
their wheels
together.
Under them.
Their wheels under them. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, that's why they give me the big money. All right.
Cool. So tell us where the event's at.
It's at the Bookman's Event Center on I-10 and Palo Verde, 5120 South Julian Drive.
Sweet. And you ladies have provided us with some tickets to the bout. So caller number 3 and caller number 5 at 529-3508. You're going to be going to see the Monster Smash doubleheader at the Bookman's Event Center this Saturday.
And what's this website you're looking at, Fred?
That's the Tucson Roller Derby website, which would be TucsonRollerDerby.com.
Can they buy tickets off the website?
They can. It'll forward you to brownpapertickets.com. And yes, you can buy tickets off the website. You can also buy tickets at Surly Wench and at Popcycle. Here in town and from any roller girl. But yeah, we can also friend us on Facebook and that'll direct you towards where to get tickets.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank
All
you
right.
guys.
Well, you were very welcome. Very welcome. All right. So we're going to take our first break and in a couple minutes when we come back, we're going to introduce you all to a man that you probably all know, but we're going to get inside the head of one of Tucson's icons. So stick around.
Tumbleweeds around me.
Top of mind awareness is when people think of your company, your product, or your service first to fulfill their needs. One of the most effective ways for your business or organization to achieve top of mind awareness is through radio advertising. Ackerly Advertising has over 40 years experience in the advertising field. As creative advertising practitioners, Ackerly Advertising is in the idea business. Creative energy centers on breakthrough ideas that build and maintain strong relationships. These ideas are developed by Ackerly Advertising through research and managed from conception, implementation to post-campaign evaluation. Call Ackerly Advertising today to achieve top-of-mind awareness for your business. Visit AckerlyAdvertising.com or call 546-9707. Ackerly Advertising is all about big ideas. Call today, 546-9707.
At Barker Morrissey Contracting, our goal is to develop lasting relationships with each one of our clients. We measure our success on achieving that in the end. We offer the best possible combination of experience, integrity, and commitment available in Arizona. The foundation of our organization is a commitment to meet our clients' needs from pre-construction services through project build and move-in. We have experienced, cohesive project managers who thoroughly analyze each project prior to construction. We do this to provide value engineering at the front end of the project while reducing time-consuming change orders during construction. We are confident that our collaboration with you will result in a successful project that'll exceed your expectations. Barker Morrissey Contracting. Straightforward, honest, and reliable. Call us at 323-3831 to set up an appointment. That's 323-3831.
This is Lamont Hundley from Arizona Health with your Fred and Jeff Show fitness tips. When it comes to your personal exercise routine, balance should be the most important ingredient. It's easy to lose track of time during a workout. Often we end up doing more strength training, then your cardio gets shortened, and there's no time to stretch. Balance is always the key to fitness success. You need an accurate portion of cardiovascular and respiratory improvement exercises, strength training, and always stretch before or after the workout. Just as a balanced diet is important in your nutrition, a balanced workout would help you achieve greater results. For more information, please contact Arizona Health at arizonahealth.com. This has been Lamont Huntley with your Fred and Jeff fitness tips.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
And welcome back. This is Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my brother, Jeff.
How you doing, Tucson?
And we have a fabulous little guest for you today. Actually, not a little guest. He's an icon, a Tucson icon.
We refer to you as a Tucson icon.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Good stuff.
That is good stuff.
And this is Mr. Jim Refkin. How you doing?
Yeah, pretty good.
So, Coach, when did you roll into town?
Ooh. A very long time ago. I went to Marquette. And I'm from the Chicago area, and East Chicago, Indiana, a terrible place.
East Chicago, Indiana.
Right by Gary and Whiting.
They wrote a song about
mills.
Gary, Indiana, didn't
Gary,
they?
Gary, Indiana.
Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana.
Yeah, the only problem is they're the ongoing murder capital of the United States.
Yeah, that's no good.
And so as soon as I graduated, I just got in my sports car, and I was on my way to play some tennis tournaments in Southern California, because I've been going down. We normally would always go down to Florida. You know, from Chicago, you just drop down to Florida. It's
right,
easy.
Right.
Boom. So I said, I've never been west. So I decided now's the time.
Did you go to Marquette on a tennis scholarship?
No.
Did you play tennis at Marquette?
I played tennis and basketball, actually.
Really?
Yes.
Who was your coach at Marquette for basketball?
Well, that goes way back. Hank Raymond's. That goes before. Actually, it's when Wilt Chamberlain was playing.
You played with Wilt Chamberlain?
No.
Oh, wait a
minute. I was a sub bench warmer. Have a career total of 2 points.
But
and
he
then
played.
I decided, wait a minute. Okay. I just want to make that clear.
Okay.
So, if someone is listening that I happen to know that's a basketball player from back then, certainly. And then, what I used to do is, because of the winter, we didn't have an indoor place. So, the tennis team would practice on the gym floor at Marquette. So what would happen is the basketball team would go downstairs to the locker rooms and stuff. Then the tennis team would come up, and they put up the nets and do their thing. And the coach didn't know that I then went back up, and then I did the tennis thing.
No kidding.
Yeah. And I got really hung up. I knew my future was not going to be in basketball. So they were redshirting me. They want me to stay another year, don't use your eligibility and all that stuff. But no problem. But, hey, I was 6 foot. And a little over 6 foot, smallest guy on the team. We had giants back then. And, of course, I have a story about Wilt Chamberlain, but I want to tell that right now because it's kind of interesting. But about tennis.
Oh, yeah. We want you to talk about tennis, too.
Okay.
We really do. But
you got a story about Will.
You got a story about Wilt Chamberlain.
All right. No,
but
quickly,
let me ask you a question before you tell the story.
Yes.
So you were a freshman,
a redshirt freshman
on the basketball team. What year was Wilt Chamberlain?
You were talking about 1957 now.
So what year was he? Was he still on the team?
Was he
a senior or was
Chamberlain played for Kansas.
Okay. And you were at Marquette.
I played for Marquette.
Okay, so
Once again, two-point career.
Got it.
Sophomore. That's
so
it.
So you
it's
saw
over.
Chamberlain come in and play.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And
let's hear the story.
Well, the story is the second best basketball player on the team was a guy named Ron Linesky. I'll do this quickly. So anyway, we're playing Kansas in the Milwaukee Arena. This is big time. So what happens is I'm on the bench area there, you know, I'm a bench warmer. Got no respect at all. So anyway, no one knows this, but Wilt Chamberlain would never do warm-ups. What he would do is he would go to the middle of the court and just hang around. Now, what happened was the second best guy on the team went to school with me, Ron Lineski, and he was Mr. Basketball in Indiana. They had a team that was incredible. And so then what happened is he sees me in the bench area, and he's giving me hell because I'm a bench warmer, right?
Right.
So he says, "You want to meet Wilt?" Guess what?
Sure.
So he takes me to the middle of the court, and I meet Wilt, and of course I'm like this.
Looking way up at him.
And I mean, incredible. Now, Will, all he would do is occasionally take a ball or two, throw it up there, you know, talk to people and stuff like that. So then I had to go back to the Marquette area.
And what are your teammates doing?
Well, they said, "How the hell do you know those two guys?" From that point on, I got respect on the basketball team.
That was hilarious.
That's the only story.
It was the fact that you got to meet Will Chamberlain.
And I knew from that point that this ain't it. So I stuck with tennis, and I'm so glad I did. And from that point on, I did play for Marquette, and we played all the Midwest school, Northwestern, stuff like that.
Right.
But we're talking 1957, late 50s now.
Well, that's scary. When basketball was king back then. Well, it still is.
Yeah.
But wow, good for you. So Marquette, you graduate from Marquette, you hit your car.
But what did I have to do?
But wait a minute, are you one of those guys?
Wait a minute now, come on.
Go ahead.
I'm on this trail. I'm still in my sports car.
Are you one of those guys that said, "I think I'm going to take this car all the way to the West Coast," and then you show up in Tucson, you lose an axle or you blow a piston?
No, it's kind of like that. Okay, because when you're from an industrial area with smoke and all, I used to the cowboy movies. I was captured by them, and I wanted dearly to see the gunfighting. Okay, corral. So I said, "Hell, it's right on the way." So I dropped down, you know, I'm on my way to Southern California, down to Tucson, and I went over and I stopped at the tennis courts at U of A. And Dave Snyder was the tennis coach then. And so he said, "Hey, want to hit something?" That's what tennis people do. They start, I've got my little sports car, I'm ready to go to L.A. And so the guys put me up at their house for a couple of days, you know, where they're living. And I worked out with them. I never left. I said, "This is incredible, this area. Blue skies. Fantastic weather, no humidity, better than Florida." I stayed.
Good for
and
you.
And went out from there. And I became I was a tennis coach at South Point High School because I had a teaching certificate. And also then I became the athletic director at South Point. And then from there I went to the Tucson Racquet Club, became the pro there.
When were you the pro at the Racquet Club?
This is my 37th year now for where I am. So before that was for 3 years.
So
before that. So whatever, what year is that? I don't know.
It was 40 years ago.
You got that right.
Yeah, 1971.
Yes, yes, it was. And then one thing led to another, and I've been very innovative in my time. And so what happened is I started to do a lot of new things for the game of tennis. And I was basically discovered by the United States Tennis Association.
How did that happen?
Because I start doing things that caught their attention. I started a little league tennis for little kids. I did formats.
Wait a second, Coach. And I call you Coach because Fred and I learned to play tennis from you at the Racquet Club back in 1971, 72 in there.
Yes.
And so the question is, you started doing these innovative things with kids. How did you come up with that? Is it something you read about?
I always thought that tennis was not for the average consumer.
Why is that?
It was too sophisticated. Everybody said, "Oh, it's a country club sport." So I really thought that, you know, play at the country club. With nothing wrong with that. That's a club. But really, it had to get out to the public big time. And so I started creating things. And so the United States Tennis Association, I became active with them, and one thing led to another. Then I was very active with the United States Pro Tennis Association. And I then became a person who gave the certification test for teaching pros. In other words, if you become a teaching pro, you have to take a test. So I traveled not only all over the United States, but also to Tokyo 6 times. I've been to Singapore, to Hong Kong.
So you took it all over the world.
I went all over the world. And I learned so much in that time that I was able to understand it so easily that we had to do some things, be innovative. And from that point then, I started introducing things and rattled a cage and started things. Thanks to a guy named Jim Ronstadt.
Oh, that guy again, huh?
That guy. He was a visionary. And so 36 years ago, 37 years ago then, he allowed me to do things that no one else would allow. He really believed in me, and he just let me do my thing. And plus, you know, I was I'm a private concessionaire. I'm not a city worker, really. So I have to hustle.
What does that mean? That means you're renting the facility?
I give the city a percentage of what I bring in. And so I look at it as a business, see. And it's not just teaching. I look at a bigger picture here. And right now, of course, what we've established, one of the nicest, greatest public tennis centers in the country. We only do 134 events a year. We do 134 events a year.
That's
small ones for kids of this kind, that kind. We're always booked. But what I brought to town was, and this is what Jim had the vision, was bringing in national events that would then, of course, have impact on our economy. So I've been doing this for quite some time. And you all have been reading the paper, this whole thing about baseball is having its...
Sure.
Just don't know if it's ever... You know, Mike Federer is a dear friend of mine. Boy, he's trying so hard. Just isn't going to get any traction.
Well, they had Mexican baseball here this last weekend. And I
know, but for what they want to get back to the good old days, it ain't going to happen.
Right. Well, but your average person can't pick up a ball. Your 45-year-old male or female can't pick up a ball and a bat and a glove and go out and play baseball on a competitive level, where your average Tucsonan, average anybody, can pick up a tennis racket and a tennis ball, go down to the Refkin Center and play tennis, you know, as competitive as they want. So, I mean,
except for you guys, had such a tough time.
yeah, we're not that good. But I mean, it's. I think I want to go back to your original point. We only have a minute or so before we have to take a break. But your original point was that you wanted to bring tennis to the masses.
Masses.
And take it out of this country club setting and make sure that everybody, regardless of social status,
absolutely,
could play tennis. And it worked.
Yes.
I mean, if you go down to the Refkin, it is working. You go down to the Refkin Center any day of the week, you're going to see grandmas and grandpas all the way down to six-year-old kids out there chasing tennis balls. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Every age 4 up to 90.
So 4-year-olds are when you start.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, that's great. That is awesome. Because you were telling me a week or so ago that someone came out with a study that said tennis is the best sport.
Yes, the Cleveland Clinic. And they're talking in terms of as far as movement, stop and go. Boxers now, they're comparing it to boxing because there's a lot of footwork, a lot of movement. Plus, rather than just jogging, you're making decisions to a ball that's coming fast at you or slow to you or high to you, and you have to make these kind of decisions. So, plus, it's mental that you want to hit it in a certain place.
We want to talk about that more on the other side of the break. We have to take a break right now at the bottom of the hour for the news. So, folks, we're going to be back in about 3.5 minutes with Jim Refkin. So stick around for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
CNN Radio, I'm Michelle Wright. This hour's top story, the FBI and the Justice Department say they've made an arrest and foiled an assassination plot against the Saudi ambassador to the U.S. planned by elements of the Iranian government to be carried out by Mexican drug cartels. New York U.S. Attorney Preet Pharara.
Today's charges should make crystal clear that we will not let other countries use our soil as their battleground.
One of the suspects will be in court in 2 weeks. More than 20 inmates were injured during a prison riot at the North Fork Correctional Facility in western Oklahoma today. No word on what triggered that riot. And an Israeli soldier who's been held prisoner for 5 years by Hamas is going free. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he brokered a deal for Gilad Shalit's release, then called his family.
I told them that I'm keeping my promise and I'm bringing their son and grandson home.
More than 1,000 Palestinian prisoners will also be released in the swap. the most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Let's all stay very zen. Chase Freedom is giving away $1 million in the $1 million Get Your Cash Back sweepstakes. Deep breath. Glide to your computer, like the Chase Freedom Facebook page, and enter for your chance to win. Ooh, I am bad at zenning. Get your cash back in the Chase Freedom $1 million Get Your Cash Back sweepstakes.
No purchase necessary to enter or win. Sweepstakes end 10-23-11, void or prohibited. Open to U.S. residents 21 or older for complete official rules on how to enter. Go to Facebook.com/Chase Freedom Cashback. Facebook not associated with this promotion.
Hello, Happy Paws Pet Supplies.
Hi. I heard from my sister Maria, who was sent a link by Suzanne, who was friended by Jamie, who was tweeted by Claire, who got your email newsletter that said you were having a one-day sale on dog beds.
Yeah.
Start your own word-of-mouth campaign by combining Constant Contact email marketing with social media and spread your message to new customers like never before. Get started today at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact plans are as low as $15 a month and now come with a money-back guarantee.
Hey, it's Mike Rowe talking about the Big Tire Event with Fiona, who works at a Ford dealership. How are you, Fiona?
I'm good, thank you.
What makes the Big Tire Event big?
Everything.
Selection?
Big.
Rebates?
Big.
Savings?
Big.
It's big all around.
All around, it's big.
It's so large, in fact, that the announcer should take it from here.
Buy four select tires, get a $100 rebate, and that's on top of the low price tire guarantee.
All right, well, there it is. It's a Big Tire Event, and everything about it is
big. Competitors ad required for tire guarantee. Stop by any participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 11/30/11.
I'm Charles Osgood. The true measure of any insurance company comes when you need it the most. And maybe that's why, when it comes to claims, auto owners insurance is known throughout the insurance industry as the no problem people. Since the year 1916, auto owners insurance has been there when you need them. Auto owners insurance, the no problem people. To find the independent insurance agent nearest you, visit autoowners.com. That's autoowners.com.
Casa de la Luz is Spanish for House of Light. That's what one needs when facing a terminal illness. A House of Light to provide comfort, support, and experienced hospice care during the end-of-life journey. The mission of Casa de la Luz is to provide superior care to patients and their loved ones so that they may complete their mission on this earth in comfort, dignity, and harmony. Founded in 1998 by Lynette Jaramillo and Agnes Poor, Casa de la Luz Hospice has become a leading provider of superior hospice care throughout southern Arizona. Whether it is in the hospital, at home, an assisted center, or a nursing home, the caring staff at Casa de la Luz will reach far beyond the usual and customary hospice service. Every service provided is a reflection of our commitment to our community. Casa de la Luz Hospice, because every day counts.
Do you suffer from irrigation leaks, a broken sprinkler, leaky valves, or you just can't find the problem? At H&S Garden, we provide high-quality, reliable service at reasonable prices. Our repair technician has over 25 years of experience. And if you hate pulling weeds, raking mesquite beans, or trimming those thorny bushes, just leave the dirty work to us. We're licensed contractors with 30 years of experience in landscape management. Our crews are professional and take pride in their work. We'll meet you on site to establish a program that works for you. Call today at 293-6488 or visit us at hsgarden.com. H&S Garden, a family-owned and operated Tucson small business.
May I light that cigar for you, sir?
Thank you.
And welcome back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my brother, Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And online with us live from Anthony's Cigar Emporium is the owner himself, Michael Toffel. How you doing, Mike?
Good. Hey, guys.
How you doing, Mike?
Very good.
All right.
So we got a brand new location over at Broadway and Craycroft.
Exactly. We're having fun trying to get it open. We've got the humidor stocked with cigars, and we are smoking cigars and watching TV on our two new 55-inch TVs.
Very nice.
That's sweet. Yeah, I was there this afternoon with a friend, and that humidor is stuffed. It's looking good.
Well, we got a sample of what we carry. We filled it up probably 80%, and the back stock is coming. It's been exciting to pick all the different cigars that we're putting in here, from Tatuaje to Davidoff to all the Fuente products and Ashton products to Rocky Patel and, of course, Padron.
Yeah, you know, my favorite is the Gurkha, and you got a nice selection of those too.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit what Cigar of the Week are you going to offer this week?
Cigar of the Week, we think, is the Tatuaje Reggio.
Ooh, tell us a little bit about that.
All right, the Tatuaje Reggio comes in the brown band. It's one of the original creations by the Tatuaje Company. Of course, Tatuaje means tattoo in Spanish, and the owner of Tatuaje is kind of one of the gurus of cigars now, Pete Johnson. He created this line of cigars, which is like a full, you know, his deal is to make a cigar that's close to a Cuban cigar. He used a lot of Nicaraguan Cuban seed tobacco, and this is definitely the style of cigar that has the spice that you'd find in a Cuban cigar. The Reggio specifically is my favorite, and it's like a Robusto size. And it's got a wrapper on it that's a Habano Ecuadorian wrapper, which is like one of my favorites, and then all Nicaraguan binder and filler. It's not for the mild cigar smoker at heart. This is a stronger cigar, spicier cigar, but if you like full-flavored cigars, this is what you're looking for.
Yeah, that is a wonderful smoke. I've had quite a few of those guys, and they are very tasty and very strong.
Well, weren't they originally put together by Don Pepin Garcia?
That's who, you know, the master blender is Don Pepin, and he, is really blending so many great cigars today. And Tatuaje and Don Pepin, through Pete Johnson, have created a line that's just amazing. And of course, Don Pepin has launched that into some amazing other lines that he sells himself
through
his own factories.
And you guys carry some of those as well, don't you?
Oh, yeah, we carry a full line of Don Pepin from the famous now My Father cigar, which was the number two cigar of the year by Cigar Aficionado, and, of course, Don Pepin's private lines. And then he has a son, Jaime Garcia, and Jaime Garcia just makes some amazing, reasonably priced cigars from his personal line, which is called the Jaime Garcia line. He came out with a limited edition Jaime Garcia this year, which is like our favorite limited edition to be released this year.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Lots of cool stuff.
So cool. So Anthony's has three locations, one up at Oracle McGee.
Yeah, we got our original location at Oracle McGee. We've been there for about 16 years, and then the Grant Swan, it's been there a little over 10. And we haven't had a new location in 10 years, and here we are, you know, of course, in the middle of the recession, trying another store. It's fun.
And that's at Broadway and Craycroft in the
right,
Williams
Center. In the old Tinderbox store, we've got our new store.
Perfect. So the deal of the week is a Tatooine, buy three, get one free. And Michael, we will talk to you next week.
The Tatuaje.
Tatuaje.
Not to correct you.
No, feel free.
Correct him anytime.
Well, Jeff corrects me all the time. Feel free.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Have a great week.
Thank you.
All right, folks. On the other side of the break, we are going to have some more fun with Jim Refkin. So stick around. La esperanza
que alumbre. What's a monkey burger?
A simple, well-made burger, cooked to your choice.
Why monkey burger?
We called it that because, come see our art on the walls. It tells a story. Monkey burger, where it's impossible to be a food snob, even if they do serve wine, beer, as well as Tucson's best burger. 514-9797.
Just drive right past Olive Garden on Broadway and Craycroft, and park in front of Monkey Burger.
Hi, I'm Jim Ronstadt. Over 100 years ago, my grandfather established Ronstadt Hardware in the heart of the Old Pueblo. The Ronstadts were a pioneer family during the growth of a fledgling city, and his store was founded on hard work, craftsmanship, and good service.
This is Jeff Ronstadt, and I am proud to carry on the family tradition with my dad at Ronstadt Insurance. In these trying economic times, you may have many questions about your health care and what's on the horizon. You may be asking questions like, how do I enroll in a Medicare plan and how much will it cost? Are my prescription drugs covered? And what will my out-of-pocket cost be?
If you are confused about Medicare, call us at 721-4848 and we will help you make a confident decision about your Medicare benefits. We are insurance agents licensed by the state of Arizona and we would be honored to assist you.
That's Ronstadt Insurance. Call us at 721-4848. We are pioneers in good service.
Power Women Invest.
Investing, an award-winning comprehensive financial services firm, offers customized programs designed to help grow and conserve your wealth. We encourage you to explore our website at powerwomeninvesting.com and learn more about the services we provide. If you would like to make an appointment, call us at 571-9053. That's 571-9053.
And welcome back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstein with my brother Jeff.
I was just saying to Coach Rifkin that there's nothing better than a good cigar on a tennis court.
Well, the interesting thing, when I'm listening about cigars, which I know nothing of, the guy is innovative. I could just tell. Mike Toffel?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so he's tweaking. There's always a better way of doing things.
Well, now, he's the guy that's selling them. But he was talking about the guys that were making them, the Don Pepin and all those guys.
Oh, I see.
But yeah, he's
same
he's
idea. Then have the product and
absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely.
Yes,
so,
for sure.
So just to recap a little bit for the folks who have tuned in late to the show, we are talking to Jim Rifkin, who is the head tennis pro at the Jim Rifkin Center.
Tennis director.
Tennis director at the Jim Rifkin Tennis Center for the city of Tucson at Broadway and Alvernon.
Yes.
And you've been there for 37 years.
I'm in my 37th year. It's one of the finest public tennis centers in the United States.
I would concur.
We have a huge amount of programs from 4 years old up to whatever age. Every skill, every age group. We're a going thing.
Well, let's talk about that. You were sharing with Fred and I earlier about the player development that you've been involved in over
yes.
the years.
Well, what happened over, because I did so much traveling, I saw what's going on everywhere in the world, basically, because of when I certified tennis pros. So I really know what's happening everywhere. And so I took that information and I started using it. And thanks to the fact that I tried all these things then, put them all together to come up with new innovative things to get more people playing tennis, the masses. And we were too... what's a niche market in the sports scheme of things.
Right.
But really now when you think about it, I don't want to pass this statistic up. I was telling her earlier that the fact that the U.S. Open, tennis,
right.
that is as far as selling tickets, attendance, largest sporting event in the world annually.
Now, really?
There's the Olympics. But this is annually.
The Super Bowl is like huge.
Well, half the people at the Super Bowl are the media.
Yeah. Well, do they have 746,000 people there?
Holy mackerel.
Wow.
2 weeks, it's global. It's bigger in New York. In New York City, as far as revenue, that's the king.
The economic impact in
is huge.
Now, there's an economic impact in what you're doing in Tucson as well, isn't there?
Yes, definitely for what I'm doing. But before I get to that, the interesting turning point to all this is that the Davis Cup team, for the United States, lost the Davis Cup. It was in 1986 to Paraguay, a tiny little country in South America.
That's crazy.
Well, the tennis people for the United States Tennis Association, everybody said, oh, my God, this is horrible. We better do something.
Yeah.
So they decided then let's get all the best minds in the game. And because I had been doing so much research and doing so many new and innovative things, they asked me to be on this really blue ribbon panel, which is, of course, this right here.
You brought this book in with you, and this book is the United States Tennis Association, the organization and its activities from 1987. And here on page 5 is a picture of you and Arthur Ashe and Stan Smith. And now, what's going on here?
And the presidents of the USTA. Well, the idea is we had other people. We traveled all over the United States. We got every possible tennis program from everywhere in the world. I still have them, stacks and stacks. And our job was to come up with the best grassroots and program that would take them from square one, 4 years old, all the way up to where they're playing for the Davis Cup, and we win the Davis Cup. And the U.S. Open. And that was the goal. Now, that was quite an experience for me. And that led to other things then because of all that I did.
Well, now, wait a second. I don't want to gloss that over. That's unbelievable. So 1987, the tennis heads of the United States, and you're one of them, put this plan together.
Yes.
And here we are. The United States is, again, one of the powerhouses in tennis in the world. And you had a small part in that, or even a large part in that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Now, here's a funny story about that, I think I was mentioning earlier. So we're at the U.S. Open. So we've been meeting all year putting our plan together. Player development for the United States players. All right, so we meet there, and it's at the U.S. Open. It's going on. So the news people are going to be in the press box area.
Right.
So they're all there. We get in there. We sit down. That's the picture you see right there.
Right.
And so CBS. CBS was doing the U.S. Open, of course. And so what happened was is they went live from Dan Rather in CBS Evening News. Now, in the 80s, Dan Rather was king.
He was the
guess
man.
Guess what happens? And I'll talk to people in that have been in journalism school, and they bring this story up occasionally.
Really?
Listen to this. So it goes live from Dan Rather, CBS News, goes to New York, and there we're live. There I am. You know, so they're interviewing us. And he got so ticked off.
Who did?
Dan Rather. Because never been done before that he was interrupted in his evening news. So he leaves the set. He leaves, walks off the set. So we finish my interview. You know, well, it is. It's cool. Goes back to
Dan
CBS.
Rather, and yeah, there's no Dan Rather.
There's no one there in the history of broadcasting. That's never happened.
Wow.
And they use it as a story because I'll talk. Hey, you ever hear that? Oh yeah, they were talking about that. Well, guess what? I was there.
You were the guy they were interviewing.
Yeah, it was
cool. That's great.
Yeah.
That's right. So then I have to ask you the question. How has Tucson kept you? You know, when you get someone as talented and as far-thinking as you are, some big metropolis snatches you away from us, and we end up kind of starting at square one again. How have we been able to keep you?
Close to leaving, and I was very close to New York, the U.S. Open, that Flushing Meadows.
Sure.
And I interviewed and stuff. What I did is I said, I want to see what a normal day would be like. No way.
Crazy.
I love this place.
Good for you.
I mean, I just love it. I mean, the environment, the weather, the people, it's still provincial. I just love it here. When I drove in here from Chicago and I saw this place in my little convertible and I said, this is the place.
That's good for Tucson.
Yes, absolutely.
Tucson needs more guys like you. We appreciate that.
Yes, indeed.
So, all right. So that is a great story. And then you've got another story here. This is the 2011 Friend of Court handbook. It's 300 pages long of all the rules in tennis.
Right.
And you had a small hand in putting this together as well.
Well, what it was, this has been there for a very long time. We've had this. But when it came to then, I start tweaking, doing new formats to play. I'm responsible for a lot of supersets. I set up Agassi, played a match in Portland, and I was the consultant for it, a one-day event. And also then shootouts, match tiebreak in lieu of third set, eight-game pro sets for college tennis, a lot of new things. So you had to change the rule book, see? So I took a lot of flack from people that they were afraid, my God, he's going to ruin our game. I mean, these are the traditionalists.
Sure.
But as you know, every sport, they continuously tweak the game to make it better.
Sure.
And to make the consumer, make it more friendly, and get more, of course, down to where it's masses. And that's one of my goals. So they made me the chairman of a national committee called Tennis Innovation. So my goal, my job was to bring in all new things.
That's outstanding.
I know, you have to realize, I mean, there's changes in materials that have been used over. I mean, you go from like the wood rackets.
Yes.
And now they have composites.
Hey, listen, I went through the thing about the bigger ball way back. There's a story about Wimbledon I could tell you.
Yeah, what do you mean the bigger ball? The ball's not always been the same
size. Well, what happened was they flew me to New York because I was also in product development too. And so they flew me at Tennis Innovation. So they brought all of us from all over, and even the International Tennis Federation, New York, for one day. And we were talking about what we're going to do, the possibility of having a larger tennis ball. So then it would be easier and people can play better and so forth. And it went around the room and everybody was against it. Then the International Tennis Federation guy said, well, geez, you know what? Why don't we just try this? You guys, this is an international sport. Come on, let's get, we need your help. So Penn was there and Dunlop and everybody else, because they had to make this ball. They had to spend mega bucks. They didn't want to do it. So I'm sitting there and they said, what do you think, Jim? I said, well, we've got to have a go at it. And because I'm tennis innovation. So we were the first ones to try the ball, and we did it at our tennis center. And we had a tournament. It's fantastic. Fantastic.
Well, so there's a larger tennis
there
ball?
There wasn't. Let me back up then. So This is going on, but the long and short of it was, the reason that happened was because it was Wimbledon. Wimbledon was losing their share TV because the points were going too fast. And so people weren't watching. Boom, points over. They would serve and volley on the grass, see? And really, that was the well-kept secret. No one knows this.
So Wimbledon was the...
They were the ones the that had room. You just follow the money. Just follow the money, and that's where it was.
Wow.
Yes, and that was it. It was amazing because...
So the bigger ball would slow down play, and they get more TV time.
Yes, exactly. Well, wow. Didn't sell. It didn't go. Guess what they did, though, then, after that?
Flattened
it
a little?
They had to do something. They did everything possible. They had a new grass they came up with. They had they took the dirt and everything. They made sure that would be in a composite so it would slow down like a hard court. They went ahead, of course, and then stretched the nap of the ball to make sure it would slow down. They did everything possible, and it worked. It helped. It helped quite a bit.
Wow.
Now, the game right now is so different. Everybody just kills the ball.
Well,
but there's staying back now. They see they stay back. They don't rush the net anymore.
So
that's good
net.
For Wimbledon.
Well, now what are some of those pros are serving that ball at 120 or
30
miles an hour?
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
It's a record, you know.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, they're just so no one wants to go to the net anymore because
they're going
to
get killed.
They get killed. Absolutely get killed. Balls. I've been down there and to watch it where it's when you're right there where they're hitting. You can't believe it. You'll see it on television, but when you see them hitting that ball, the players today are gigantic. Look at those Russians. They're all over 6 foot, 6'2", 6'4".
Wow.
I mean, the women. It's not unusual. They're 6'6", 6'7", 6'8".
I mean, but don't you gotta be quick, though, to win?
Dude, definitely.
I watched some of the U.S. Open, and I saw a really big kid.
Yeah.
I think he was Dutch or he was from a European country. He was 6'6", really big kid.
Right.
And one of our kids, and it's an African American kid from the United States, a kid that was just coming up.
Yeah.
Just murdered him because he was so quick. He was fast. He was all over the place. But this kid would hit the European kid would hit the ball 900 miles an hour, but he couldn't keep up with the quickness of the American kid. It was a fascinating.
Well, you'd like to have
match.
Both. You'd like to have power. You'd like to have speed. And mental.
Wow.
And that's the package right there. And so it's a fascinating game how it's developing. And right now there's a push, and I'm very involved in it for a new program called Quick Start. Quick Start. We introduced it a long time ago. We call it Immediate Play. And so we've now introduced all new kinds of equipment. So for a four-year-old, you can't very well give them like a big tennis racket and regular tennis ball, it's impossible.
Right.
But unfortunately, that's what we used to do. Ridiculous. So now we've come up with the new balls. And as a matter of fact, you've seen some of those.
Yeah.
They're the real big foamy yellow balls.
Just to show Fred this. So they start with these. And we go to
this. It's like, sort of like a Nerf ball.
Yeah, it is.
They are Nerf balls. I mean, they're kind of our Nerf balls. They're big and smooshy.
And then you go to that one. Then you go to a regular tennis ball.
And so then you have three sets of tennis balls and the difference.
Then And actually there's another one after that we just introduced.
So we'll put a picture of these up on the website. You know, folks go to fredjeff.com when they want to listen to the show later, and they'll see all of these crazy tennis balls.
Like that.
Because that's the progression of learning tennis now.
It is so much fun now. to learn with these tennis balls because we're playing immediately. It's called Quick Start.
And so how old, so this ball here on the left, the real big, this guy looks like a,
I mean, I gave you an old one.
It's almost a softball.
Yeah.
This ball here on the left, how old, what do you have, four or five, six-year-olds playing with that?
What we do is we have a competitive path, a participation path. So if you start off at 4 years old, that's Quick Start 1. Then the next thing is Quick Start 2, Quick Start 3, and then you're into another level. So we have a path with the different tennis balls like this.
And are they playing on a full-size court?
We're the only ones that have 15 of our tennis courts permanently lined as smaller tennis courts.
We have small little nets.
This is crazy because when Jeff and I, we were out there playing tennis, we were on the full-size court. Yeah. And we were like, what, 10, 11?
Oh, I was 8.
We were on the full-size court. The rules that we knew was keep the ball between the lines.
That was it, yeah.
But we were whacking.
They were flying all over the place.
Oh, yeah. You can never get a volley. You can never get any meaningful play.
Couldn't get a rally.
If you could serve it and get it over the net, you won the point.
That was it.
Yeah, no
Quick
fun.
Kids. These ball, no. This ball is called Quick Kids. That's great.
Well, that's a particular brand. Now, we were the ones, our tennis center was the product development for all these.
And how is this taking off throughout the country?
They all had to send all of their balls that they were going to get hopefully approved by the United States Tennis Association. They had to send them to us. And then we tested all of them. We said, nah, forget that one. So in our programs, we tested them all. Then we'd have a chart. Say, this ain't working. The balls don't last long. This is a horrible bounce. This is, and so forth. And then we give this information. I was in New York, and they have a special room with, that's all they do is test tennis balls.
Really?
And so they had all these things. And so we gave them what we thought were the best ones. And that's how the progression. And we just added another new one called the green dot one. And that's 25% less. Then it becomes a regular tennis ball.
Now,
I brought that
how
one
is this
me.
Taking off throughout the country? Is it?
Yes. It's at our place. It's taken off very, very well. We're really the only ones. I'm getting the racquet club to do this, the Tucson Racquet Club. And I'm trying to get it all over the Southwest and all over the United States. So there's meetings going on. They're having a tough time implementing it because I already had a path. I already had an established programming where it took them to different levels. Where everybody else, they don't have that. And so what I do is I'm a peer advisor nationally. And so I give advice to everyone in the United States on how to run these quick start programs and how to establish things that'll help it.
You're a busy
man.
You're a very busy
man. Well, it keeps me going. I'm very active, and I just love the game. Megan Houck is our number one person that I have working with me, and our staff is terrific.
That's awesome.
I do nothing but training.
Well,
to talk about that in a second.
We talk about it now because we got two minutes left.
We have 1 minute.
1 minute left.
1 minute left. That's the key to everything is training. Training, training, training. And you could read about something, but unless you're on the court showing them how to do things, it doesn't work. So I'm moving around. You've seen me on the tennis
court. Absolutely.
Because I want to make sure they're doing it the way they should be doing it. And, you know, I'm like a drill instructor.
Sure.
You know, I don't hold back.
Yeah, but your people don't have a problem with it. I mean, they follow
your
lead.
Learning.
They're great.
Yeah. They're used to the old way, get in line, you know, and just kind of wait and stuff. So
Well, Jim Refkin.
This is the new way.
I got to tell you, we are so pleased to have you here. Thank you for everything you do for Tucson. You're one of the good guys here. One of the reasons why living in Tucson is a wonderful thing. So, folks, go down to the Jim Refkin Tennis Center, Broadway and Alvernon. Take your kids there. Take up the game of tennis. And, folks, have a great week. Fred?
Good evening, Tucson. Que antaño disfruté cerquita
de mi madre, Santa Vía. KJLL, South Tucson.